The topic of the message today is the coming of the Lord. Before we read the scripture, I would like to remind everyone that the Bible teaches that people are sinners and need the Lord. The Bible teaches that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that nobody has to perish, but that all who believe on Him may have everlasting life. Are you not glad to know that the gift of eternal life is available from God? Have you received that gift? I hope that you have. Yes, the Bible teaches that Jesus came years ago to pay for our sins by dying on the cross, shedding His blood. He was raised from the dead. And if we trust that and put our faith in Him, God gives to us eternal life. But the Bible also teaches that Jesus went back to be with the Father. He's preparing a place for us, His people, those who have faith in Him, and someday He will come back to take us home. Are you ready for that? Are you glad to know that He will come back to take us home? Well, that fits with the message today, here even in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I would like to remind you that in the first three chapters of 1 Thessalonians, Paul showed his love and concern for the church. You might remember that the church was relatively young. It had some relatively young Christians in it. And everybody needs the word, but I believe Paul had a special love for those people. And he assured them of his deep interest in their welfare. He expressed to them his heartfelt sympathy because of the persecution and bitter trials they were going through. He explained how he would love to be in their presence again. He longed to return to them. But when you come to the fourth chapter here, in this letter, in this epistle, in this book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul admonished and exhorted those believers concerning things that they needed to hear about, certain subjects, certain doctrines, where they needed further guidance and instruction. And I would like for us to remember that we still need guidance and instruction. We still need the Word of God just like they did. And so in this chapter, he first dealt with Christian morals and conduct. He discussed chastity, sanctification of the body, and diligence in secular work. But then you come to the last part of the chapter, which is our text today. And I'm telling you, it's one of the great, great passages in the Bible to give hope to the people of God that Jesus is coming again to take us home. So Paul provided great information about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know there may be people you come across in life that don't believe in God giving salvation to people where they can go to heaven? There may be people who do not believe in such a thing as Jesus coming again. There may be people who would wonder why you believe such things as that. But oh, listen, if we believe that God is real and we believe that the Bible is true, we have a valid basis on which to believe that the Jesus who came the first time to provide salvation will come again the second time to take His people home. I'm glad to know that's true. I hope you're glad to know it's true. But if you don't know Him as your Savior, know that today is the best time in your life to accept Him without delay. So let's look at what we have as Paul wrote to the people there. Remember that Paul's personality could come through in these things, but it was the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I believe that. I believe God inspired what he wrote. And so Paul got to this point in his letter, and he said, follow with me, please. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, I would think it's very likely that some of you have heard those verses many times. Some of you may have read them many times. But can we look at them today realizing that we might get something we never got before? We might be blessed. We might be encouraged. Maybe beyond what we have been before. So think with me if you will. Paul said in verse 13 he did not want them to be ignorant. He was talking to brethren. What did that mean? His Christian brothers and sisters. You might say the church family there in that church in Thessalonica. He did not want them to be ignorant about the state of believers who had already died. Now, ignorant in this case does not mean that they were stupid. It meant more being unaware of something. Like you and I might be ignorant of how to do something. It doesn't necessarily mean we're stupid, but it might be that we never learned how to do that particular thing. And so he said, I don't want you to be unaware or uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant about those that have already died. I don't want you to have sorrow like the people who have no hope. Now notice that last part of the verse, that some have no hope. Are you glad to know that as a Christian you have hope in Christ? We ought to be glad of that. There are people all around us in this world, especially those who don't know Christ as their Savior. They don't have the hope that we have. They may plug along through life the best that they can, not knowing what they're missing without the Lord. But some have no hope. I would submit this for your consideration. There just might be a noticeable difference sometimes if you go to the funeral of one who was known to be a Christian versus one who was known to not be. Something to think about. All right, so Paul said, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to have sorrow like these people who have no hope. Now, he said, concerning them which are asleep, that term asleep is a euphemism for death. It's a metaphor for dying. But it doesn't indicate soul sleep. If I were to ask you to raise your hands, probably numerous ones of you would say, oh, I've heard that term soul sleep before. I want to emphasize that this is not what that's talking about. Paul was suggesting that for a Christian believer, death is like sleep in that it's a temporary state. It's a restful state. And I do not believe the Bible teaches soul sleep. Now listen, Paul had taught that church already. He just wasn't in their presence at this time. He had taught them about the return of Christ when he was there. But here's what probably took place. Timothy probably, when he went to check on how they were doing and so forth, Timothy had probably encountered some more questions from the church people on that subject. And that possibly came from the fact that some of those new converts had already died. Some of them had already likely passed away. And so as the Lord directed, Paul was very likely trying to answer their questions or their concerns when he wrote that we have read and said he did not want them to be uninformed. He wanted them to be comforted by the hope of seeing their loved ones again. And this was a hope that their pagan neighbors did not have. Listen, if I'm going to share that with you, that their pagan neighbors did not have that hope, I think it would be good to remember there are people even today that don't have the hope of seeing their loved ones again if they don't know Christ. That's the point right there. That's the point. And so he, I believe, wanted them to be comforted. If you come down to the last verse we read in this chapter, he referred to what he had just said. He said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I believe Paul knew, as God knew, that the second coming of Christ, where he'll bring his people together, is that which should bring comfort to the heart and mind of a believer. These Thessalonian people were apparently wondering, very seriously, apparently wondering because they had not learned, wondering what would happen to deceased believers when Christ returned. Well, Paul wanted them to understand that death is not the end of the story. Isn't that true, folks? For those who understand the teaching of the Scripture, for those who know the Lord and have their faith in Him, death is not the end of the story. You can read a lot of things, like one of the old timers said something about, you know, I'll be more alive then than ever, or something to that effect. I mean, if you're with the Lord and you're alive forever, that's a tremendous thing right there. So death is not the end of the story. I do believe the Bible teaches that when we die, we do not cease to exist, but we go into eternity somewhere. You need to go to the right place. That's true of all of us. You need to go to the right place, which is God's heaven. But aren't you glad, as Paul was teaching them, when Christ returns, all believers, dead and alive, that was true then, it's still true now, will be reunited, never to suffer or die again. Won't that be great? Amen. That will be great. Never to suffer never to die again. I believe when we're with the Lord, this is a little extra thought here. I believe when we're with the Lord, you don't have to worry about old age. Because, you know, you're not there yet, but you've heard about people that have gotten there, right? And sometimes the old bodies start breaking down. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Won't it be great when we are with the Lord and everything's new? Won't that be a wonderful time? So Paul very plainly told them in verse 13, as we have it called verse 13, he said, I don't want you to be unaware of this truth. I don't want you to have sorrow like those out there that have no hope. But I would ask you this too. Do you have any friends or relatives that without them knowing it are really living without hope? Do we know people that are living without hope? Meaning they do not have Christ in their lives. They may have everything else, at least from outward appearances, going well for them. But deep down inside, they're missing something because they've never put their faith in Christ. They don't have the hope that believers have. I'm telling you, you can tell me the same thing. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place. And one of the great things, of course, will be seeing the Lord himself. But won't it be good to be reunited with our loved ones that went ahead of us? Won't that be wonderful? Yes, indeed. All right, Paul went on to explain this in verse 14. He said, for if we believe. When he said, for if we believe, he's obviously basing this on what he just said. He said, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, I believe he believed that. I think they believe that. And that's what we should believe. That Jesus died and rose again. He said, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus. That means those who died in Christ. Those who died as believers. Those who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, listen, folks, that's our hope. The hope of the Lord's return. And the hope for the dead Christians then and now was and is as certain as the fact that Jesus died and rose again. So Paul said that God will bring with him those who have already died in Christ. Now, some people have inferred from this statement that departed Christians are unconscious until the second coming. I said some people. But the Bible indicates that to be absent from our present body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. I do not think we go into some unconscious state. I believe we go immediately to the place of our destiny. And if you go as a believer, you go to be with the Lord. And so accordingly, when a Christian dies, it's only the body that sleeps. If you want to talk about something sleeping, only the body. And the body has no life. The Bible teaches the body without the spirit is dead. But the Lord will raise people up. So he said, this will take place. And then in verse 15, he said, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. And I want you to please not miss with me that part. By the word of the Lord. I think Paul wanted them to clearly understand this is God's word to you. It's not just what I think. It's God's word to you. And folks, that's the way it still should be today. And not just in this church, not just from this pulpit, but people that are trying to tell people the truth the best that they can, they need to let people know this is what God says. It's not just the preacher's opinion. It's not just the teacher's opinion. It's not just anybody else's opinion. It's what does God say. That's what's important. Now, whether everybody in here agrees with that or not, I hope you do. That's the truth. It ought to be what God says. And so Paul said, by the word of the Lord, we're telling you this. That ought to have given them some assurance that it was worth something, don't you think? That what I'm telling you is valid, it's real, it's genuine, it's valuable. He said, we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. Now, Paul's right there. Unto the coming of the Lord. That's our topic today. The coming of the Lord. He's coming again. Didn't we hear somebody saying Jesus is coming soon? That wasn't even planned to go this message, by the way, unless the Lord planned it. Well, we don't know when soon will be, but it could be, as I understand the Bible, at any moment. Somebody might say, well, yeah, Christians have been saying that for a long time. You know, the Bible deals with that too. There were scoffers. Like, where's the promise of his coming? But here's what I believe. We don't know, and the Bible makes this plain. We don't know. Only God the Father knows when Jesus will come again. But I believe God has established his truth in such a way that that has been the hope of believers for centuries of time. Generation after generation, that's the hope that Christians have that Jesus will come again. So we don't know when he's coming, But we need to be ready. And I believe he will come. The coming of the Lord. And I believe that even though we don't know when, somebody might question you and say, well, if that's been true for so long, how do you know it's really going to happen? I believe this is the deal. I believe, though we don't know when, we are getting closer every day. I cannot stand here and tell you when Jesus is coming again, and nobody on TV or the internet can tell you either. But I do believe he's coming, because he will keep his word. He will come again. He will come again. Okay? So, Paul said, by the word of the Lord, we which are alive and remain, we which are alive and remain. Do you see Paul use the term we? That indicates that both Paul and the Thessalonian people believed that Christ could have returned in their lifetime. This was not very many years after Jesus rose from the dead. But I believe the hope was there that he could come back, because, again, we don't know the date or the time. But I believe they had the hope, and there was that possibility. I believe in Paul's mind and heart that Jesus could come again in his lifetime. And so he let them know, the ones that are still alive. Okay, so here we are now. Paul's with the Lord. He has passed away. Those people have passed away. But the truth is still there. The truth is still there that some people will still be alive when Jesus comes. Some will still be alive. Those who know him by faith will go up to be with him. Now, here's what we have in this verse. Some of those Thessalonians may have been concerned that believers from their midst who had died might miss the glory associated with the second coming. But I believe Paul addressed that concern by stating that those who were dead would not miss, but they would actually go before those still living on earth. Those living would not prevent or precede the dead in Christ. Now, I do believe this. When you compare Scripture and you look in other Scripture in the New Testament, it talks about in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I believe it will be very, very fast. But realize this. It's the work of God, not the work of man. It will be very fast. But within that fast time frame, the Bible makes it plain that the dead in Christ will rise first. Amen. The dead in Christ will rise first. This was true for the people in Thessalonica, Greece, back in this time, very early in Christianity, and still true today. Your loved ones that have already died and been buried somewhere, if they knew the Lord and they know the Lord, they will be raised up first. And then the ones that are still alive will join them in the sky. That's what we see here if we read on. He said that we will not go ahead of them. Then in verse 16 he said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. How do we know he'll descend from heaven? Because the Bible teaches us where he is now, at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us, preparing a place for us. And so Paul explained in this verse and the next verse, 16 and 17, he explained what? He explained what's going to first happen and then what will follow. And he said the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Now, folks, I think that's significant. The Lord himself. There's no imposter that can do that. There's no one that would be a false Christ that can do that. Only the real Christ can do that. And there are three things about it. It says he will descend from heaven with a shout. We don't know exactly what it will sound like. We don't know the volume level, but I believe it will be significant. He'll come with a shout. He'll come with the voice of the archangel. It says the voice of the archangel. Now, archangels are high or holy angels appointed to special tasks. You can talk about Gabriel. But do you know in the New Testament, the name is not given here, but Michael is the only archangel mentioned in the New Testament. But whichever one it is, the Bible says there'll be a shout and this voice from an archangel and the trump of God. The trump or trumpet will sound. So it will be a significant event. It really will. But it will be fast. And we're told in the last part of verse 16, the dead in Christ shall rise first. You go to 17, then we which are alive and remain. Do you remember he said in verse 15, we which are alive and remain? He uses that same wording down here in verse 17, that after the dead are raised up, then I'll say again, it's going to be real fast. But then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Caught up. Now, caught up how? Look carefully. Caught up, first of all, to join the other believers in the clouds. But what's the whole purpose? Because then we see caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We'll be joining together with the other believers that have already died. We'll be going up together to meet the Lord in the air. And all the good news in the last part of verse 17, after believers have met the Lord in the air, we will always be with Him. I'm glad to know, are you glad to know, that the Bible teaches if you're part of the family of God, you never lose that relationship.
Amen.
The Bible is very plain. If you are one of God's children, you are safe in His hand. You are safe in the hand of the Son, and nobody can pluck you out of that hand. That means Satan himself cannot take away your salvation if you trusted God for the salvation.
That's right.
He can try to make your life miserable, but he cannot make you lost if you're saved. That's important to know. It really is. Because people can get discouraged. They can get weary. But if you're a child of God, you're always going to be a child of God. We might not always please our Heavenly Father, just like children don't always please their earthly fathers. But we're still part of the family. That ought to be encouraging right there. We're still part of His family. So we'll be caught up together. Yes, we will. We'll be always with Him. All because Jesus came back to life. So will all believers. Now that takes us to verse 18 that I commented on earlier. The hope of Christ's second coming provides comfort to the people of God. Most everyone in here, if not literally everyone, has been to funeral services and burial services. If we have no confidence that the departed one knew the Lord, it's a different climate, so to speak. Then if you have confidence, the departed one is with Christ. But the good news is, if you have that confidence, then you can certainly emphasize, not only can God give comfort and strength, He can give salvation to those that need it, but He can give comfort and strength to those who need it, and we can know that the day will come. Not to give somebody false hope. There's no value in false hope. But the day will come, whether you're at a graveyard or whether you're in the church house. We need to know the truth. The day will come when those who know the Lord will be reunited. As the years go by, the Lord has let me still be here so far. But as the years go by, you could do the same. I can think of probably a lot more people now that have gone ahead of me that I'll be glad to see someday. Can you think that way too? Is that a stupid thing? Or is that part of the hope of the believer? As part of our hope because of what Christ has done for us. So, listen, the rapture, the catching away, the rapture of believers, it's the next great event. We have no timetable, but it's the next great event in the redemptive plan and purpose of God. It is that event toward which all believers may expectantly look. The book of Titus says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, may I say to you here in the last part of the message today, we need to live for God now. But we have the promise that someday we will be caught up and immediately translated so that our bodies will have a glorified state. However, the rapture will catch many people unprepared. I sort of know the crowd I'm talking to today, but I still want to ask because it's important. What about you? Are you prepared? Are you ready? Do you have your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, Christians still live for God, but lost people still need to come to God, don't they? I want to ask you to consider the words from this old song. It might be one you think of as a children's song, but what does it say? It says, stop, and let me tell you. Y'all know the song? It says, stop, and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Stop, and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. He forgave my sin, and He saved my soul. He cleansed my heart, and He made me whole. Stop, and let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Isn't the Lord good? Well, let's close it out here. We as believers have hope. We have hope, just like Paul shared with the Thessalonian church. So everybody needs to know the Lord. And those of us who know Him need to live for Him until that time when He indeed will come again. Let's stand together, please, and bow our heads for prayer.